if we were to do these things, let's see where we would be. Premiums, other vendors. Yeah, I don't know. The actuals in this budget in the projected FY 2013, which is the budget document that Maria presented, are $182,000. And the 9 months actuals are $151,000. So it looks like Maria actually agrees with Raul's numbers. What we budgeted in FY 2013 was $146,000. Do people feel like we want to lower the target a bit, or we want to go with the $185,000 that's projected for 2013? I'm inclined to think we could challenge a reduction. Thoughts?
I'll agree with the challenge.
Okay. So let's look at about $146,000. All right, a depreciation of 102 takes us to, so that's 102. So let me see what that does to the numbers. Oh, is this thing not adjusting? No, it's not. Great. I'm sorry, the formulas in this spreadsheet aren't correct, so I've got to run this again in Excel. It's not picking up all the numbers. So it looks like if we do that all the way down through administrative expenses, we get 345 through 22. So administrative expenses goes 345, 322. And development expenses goes to 324, 91. Which is not too much more than the projected actuals for this year, and a little less than was budgeted in 2013. So that brings us to a working deficit of $117,000. We could take a look at those extra fund drive receipts, potentially. And then the other items that we may have to look at, let's see. We do have considerably less expenses in pension and 403B. We could adjust that slightly. I think everything else is pretty on the money from what I can see. In the past, we have considered cutting down from the double wire services from Reuter AP just to AP wire, and there is a little bit of money that could be saved that way. I think we did that in last year's budget, and then the station didn't implement it, but we could look at that. And other than that, I don't see an awful lot that's over-budgeted, which is good. So we would probably need to consider what we wanted to do with personnel above and beyond those items. I'm trying to do a little bit of math about the size of the increase. And if we're projecting the union raises at about $55,000, and we're projecting the health insurance increase at a lot. Let's look. 70,000? Is that correct? 19.1%? So we're projecting $150,000 in additional salaries. We can take a look at whether we can do a little bit on the 403B and the health benefits. but we would be looking at doing a bit less probably than 150. We're tied into the union increase. So basically what we would probably need to look at is whether the hire of a program director is realistic this year. And it may not be. Any thoughts?
Arpal?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is more maybe philosophical than absolutely concrete right here. But I have to say that we all know that BAI has a problem or two. And in my personal opinion, our problem is that we were without a real program director for something like 14 years. The radio stations, I think, need program directors. Otherwise, interesting things happen. So maybe that's very philosophical, but that's my immediate thought. That's it.
Well, for better or for worse, I will say that KPFA has probably had an interim program director for about four of the past 12 years. So it's our default position not to have one. I understand the concerns about why that's not a good idea. So any ideas about how to save about $115,000?
Michael, do this back?
Yeah.
Just want to raise this as a possibility. I know that we're not really interested in adding fundraising days, but I'm looking at your assumptions an additional information tab, and your December drive is 5 days, January, February drive is 19, the May is 19, and the July, August is 12, and it seems to me that one thing you could do is make those 7, 21, 21, and 14, adding 8 days of fundraising, would net you something in the neighborhood of $200,000.
That's always an option. I know it's not a popular option. Rest of the committee? Any thoughts? So what are we looking at total fundraising days? 79.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
The folks from A are very quiet, and I would like to hear them come up to the table and talk about what can be cut to make this thing balance. And I'd like for us to hear some sincerity, because I know in the past we've understood that they were going to reduce some positions that they didn't, and that was responsible for them going into the red or whatever. And so I would like to hear them come to the table and say, okay, this is what we can do without right now. We don't have to buy a pair of shoes this year, but we've got to make this budget balance.
Well, we're on mute, Richard. I'm assuring you it wasn't quiet in this room. I will speak for myself, and I think others agree. We don't believe we need to cut anything. We think it would be a bad thing to cut, and we are pressed, in spite of what Tracy said, to have the budget that we proposed. Tracy does come up with some numbers that I think it's questionable, and of course, this isn't the time to debate them. We'd need a little more time. She makes it sound really good that we've been behind, and it's just exaggerating things that are not accurate. And I just want to Chris, one little comment she made about how we have to have all the stations be treated the same or doing the same. We can't, for instance, follow good accounting procedures as far as the debt, the depreciation goes. But it turns out that all of the stations are not, in fact, on schedule to pay the same percentage in central services. Now, I must admit, the first year that I was president, WBAI signed a little informal statement saying they would try to pay 5%. So this year, it looks like they're being expected to pay a little more, 9.7%. And, you know, the rest of us are paying 19.5%, except KPFK, who gets rent break PRA. So I don't think it's true that we have all the stations being treated the same. And it is sincere, Richard. There's nothing insincere about I don't believe we should cut anything.
Also, in terms of the cash flow, regardless of what the numbers say, the cash flow still comes out good because, once again, depreciation is not a cash flow item. We have taken into account what we expect our capital expenditures to be. And actually, we would love a new pair of shoes, but right around now, all we do is just resole the shoes. So that's
well,
what
going
we do. So, you know, taking $102,000 off of our budget just because of depreciation, and, you know, for something that's going to be around for 30 years, we take into account things that we do need to replace. In a perfect world, we would be, all of us would be putting money aside. If you look at any accounting book, anything, you don't take depreciation, you know, and cut personnel due to depreciation costs. Last year, our budget had $115,000 worth of depreciation, and we were mandated to cut $119,000 worth of personnel. And if you really want to go that route, then you might as well increase your legal fees, because that's where it probably would go.
Okay, so we've got a deficit here. Let me say a couple of things, which is that KPFA had $500,000 a year in, well, $600,000 a year in transmitter fees. This budget would be $600,000 in deficit. So we do have to take into account the fixed costs with which our stations are struggling. They are in a particular situation, and as we know, a lot of people just lost their jobs, which is very sad. And we don't want any other station to go down that road. In terms of where we are, I hear what Michael is saying. Richard, I'm going to address this question to you. In the past, KPFA has fundraised a bit longer in December than 5 days. There is, you know, lots of nonprofit wisdom to the effect that the vast majority of charitable giving happens in December. It's a good time to fundraise. And generally, the December drives are successful. So one way we could look at dealing with this deficit is potentially sort of splitting the distance and adding a day or two of fundraising in December, so we're looking at a 6 or 7 day fund drive. And you would need to express your comfort level with that, but that is one possibility. And then we would be looking at a smaller reduction in other categories. Based on what we've done in previous years, we do seem to consistently overestimate our pension and 403B, We generally budgeted at 48 or 50 grand, and we generally don't spend that much. We generally spend more like 30 or 35, so we could probably get $10,000 or $15,000 there. I still don't understand the 19.1% health insurance increase. As far as I know, the health insurance is not increasing 19%. So we may be able to get a little bit back there. Richard, how do you feel about a 6 or 7 day fundraiser in December? If you're still there.
I'm here, Tracy.
You feel like it's a nightmare or something you could consider?
It's certainly something I could consider. I have to tell you that as a member of the KPFA LSB, at the next meeting, you can have at least one listener get up during the public comments section and tell you that we need to expand revenue streams, and he's going to suggest underwriting. He's going to say that we've been going to the well too often with regard to on-air fundraisers. So my feeling is that there is some pushback already, and we may be reaching a point of diminishing returns. However, my compromise on this would simply be that we set the goal, and if we can increase the efficiency of raising the money, as Goldbusters says we can, then we will perhaps raise the amount we need and not go full length.
Sure. I mean, if you make the goal before the projected amount of time, that's great. I mean, absolutely.
Then I'm comfortable with that, yes.
Okay, so that may be something that we can consider. All right, so to get into these specifics, if I were to trim the pension expense in the approximate direction of actual, would that make anybody crazy? Is there some reason why we need to exceed our actuals the last couple of years? Okay. No response there. I don't know. Okay. Is there an explanation for the health insurance going up 19.1%? Are we comfortable projecting a bit less? I think the increase is only about 11 or 12% on the books.
It is, but we've been talking about additional personnel. I believe KPFA, and Michael, you might be able to speak to this, I believe that KPFK got into trouble for not having, or having people just under the threshold to get them into the union and providing them with benefits, which we made sure during our negotiations here that wasn't going to happen here. So we have additional benefits for our board operator, who, of course, then have the program director, which does not have, obviously does not have, it's a new position. So it's not as if we're expecting an increase of that from Kaiser. We expect only, I believe it was a 10 or 11% increase. But the rest of it comes with the personnel that we, you know, that we are required to by union negotiations and by just having additional personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you ask me the question, several of the board ops were switched to benefits this year at KPFK. They're less than half time to still qualify for benefits.
That's right, and that's exactly what we did this year to avoid any issues in that case. Not to mention it is unfair to have people who have been working for us for years and just be right under the threshold.
Okay, so let me try to do this in my head. If hypothetically we added two more days of fundraising in December and worked off an 81-day fundraising schedule with all of the hesitations that Richard expressed, which I think are valid, then we'd be adding $55,000 to listener support. We'd be adding a little bit to premiums. and a little bit to central services. So off the top of my head, that's probably netting at about $40,000. And I will have to, you know, input all of this, but let's just do it for argument's sake. Okay, and we're left with a deficit of about 90, 78 plus capital, and we can go into deficit on capital if we absolutely have to. I didn't get any positive response from the health insurance or the premiums. Do we want to take a look at Reuters again, or do we not?
Yes.
I would say go for it.
Okay. Well, it needs to be implemented by the station management. So, Richard, are you willing to survive without Reuters and just AP? Or do you feel like that's something that will degrade the quality of the product too much?
I feel it would degrade the product in terms of international coverage. I do have to ask them, and I guess I'm asking the wrong body, can we count on SSRN being around for the year 2014 or not?
Right. Good question. I think so. And I don't know that there's a way to guarantee. Pacifica recently renegotiated the contract, and where that leaves them is they've got to develop some other sources of revenue besides us.
Well,
what
my
stress level is going to be, I can't, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope so.
Right. The only thing I'm looking at is, you know, we've lost Al Jazeera. With regard to UP, it's not very good. Historically, it's not been very good on international news. If we have FSRN, that's something that at least can fill part of the void. So, again, I think it's doable, but I would like some assurance that there's going to be something to help us out with international news. If not FSRN, something else.
Right, right. And, of course, Al Jazeera English is gone, which is too bad. Well, I don't know how to guarantee. I think the odds on SSRN survival are probably more positive than negative. But, you know. Okay. Well, that brings us to the personnel place, and we'll just leave the AP question there, because obviously you want to go to non-personnel cuts first, and we don't seem to have any others. So if we do this with the seven-day fund drive in December, then it seems to me that we're pretty much looking at, assuming that we let capital be deficit, about $75,000 off the personnel increase. How that's implemented is a management decision. It's not a finance committee decision, but it would obviously impact having the program director and the fund drive coordinator at the same time without further cuts, which, of course, is at the discretion of management how you want to handle that. But it would take us under $2 million to a number something like 1.975, give or take. Which is still a substantial payroll. It's 50% of overall revenue. And we have over time, looking at budgets, seen that when we get much below 50%, when we get much above 50% of overall revenue, or two-thirds after central services, that the stations do start to tip over. So it may be that staffing level, however management decides to implement it, would be a slightly more practical thing going forward. Unless anyone has any other ideas, I think that might be the shape of what we finally end up with. And I won't make a motion right now. I'll just let people feedback for a while. questions or any feedback?
Question?
Yes, bring it up.
All right, so I'm trying to calculate this up a bit here. So we're looking at I'm trying to figure this out. Help me out, Tracy.
Yeah.
We're looking at a personnel increase, and we're sort of hoping it won't topple over things. Is that basically it?
We would still be looking at a fairly substantial personnel increase, partially tied into the union negotiations, which have happened. So that's not discretionary.
Adding 4 days to.
Yeah. So what we would be looking at is rather than increasing the overall payroll by about $245,000, we would be working with about $170,000 increase, which means that a little bit would come out of salaries and a proportional amount would come out of health insurance. So as I mentioned, that probably means that the 1.5 FTE increase wouldn't be doable this year in its entirety without some, offsetting adjustments, and that would be at management's discretion. The overall number would be about 1.975. Does that help any? And the alternative is that we don't increase the fund drive date at all. And in that case, it's a more substantial reduction, which is going to get problematic, I think.
I think increasing fund drive days is probably a necessary evil.
Yeah, I don't like to do it either, but I can't quite see cutting on that scale.
Tracy, Maria has a suggestion.
Okay.
We have, as I said before, we have a programmer that we are trying to help out with some additional production hours. The gentleman produces shows for four of our stations, all by himself, pretty much. And it would be great if maybe the other stations could help us.
Well, I don't think the other stations have budgeted KPFA's, KPFA's payroll. I don't know which KPFK's and KPFP's budget are through. And KPFK didn't have anything extra. I'm assuming under the current scenario that that's not realistic for BAI and PFW. But if they want to make an offer, they can do that. Arpal, Tony, do you want to offer?
Arpal here. I can't make offers of money for the radio station. So I could, if there's some dollar amount somebody wants to suggest, I can bring that to the general manager. We have what I am anticipating will be our final budget meeting with the Finance Committee on Monday. So I can bring... Okay.
Ouch. Somebody's making noise.
Wow. I can bring a proposal for some actual defined amount to the general manager for Monday. General manager's on vacation this week, so communication is dicey. But Monday, he'll be at our finance committee meeting, and I could bring him some definite number and see what happens. I mean, BAI is, you want to talk about personnel, so I can give no guarantee, but I can say that if I'm given a number, I will bring it to the general manager at Monday's Finance Committee meeting.
This is Tony. What was the request again? I didn't quite hear.
Request apparently is for some of the other stations to allocate an amount to for part of KPFA's payroll because they are syndicating programming from KPFA and that in some way they would pay part of the cost of producing that programming.
I can bring that up. I can bring it up at our finance at our budget meeting next week and discuss it with the general manager. I don't know how likely that'll be.
Michael, to the stack.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Well, I want to raise another possibility. This is to colleagues at KPFA. Sorry for the echo. I'm wondering if there's some possibility of the remuneration for the fund drive coordinator being a combination of salary and sort of commission, in a sense, like more like a development person. What part of what they make would be if you succeed in oversubscribing your fundraising goals by having a better managed fund drive? I don't know exactly how that would be handled within the budget, but...
Well, it's a creative idea. I'm not sure if it's realistic, but it is creative, and that's good.
Question?
I mean, a lot of development people are hired in that case.
Question?
This is Barbara.
Question?
That position, although to assist with the fund drive, is not a development position. And commission doesn't sound to me compatible with what we have in mind for that job.
Thanks.
Our Paul for a question? Tracy?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. In terms of a commission for that stuff, isn't the development, like for a development director, isn't that not a legal thing to do?
You're correct.
Yeah. So I think we can't remunerate the person by saying, yeah, you get a commission or something. I think that's not legal.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's a question. How small a surplus are we comfortable with? Using roughly the numbers that I put out, I end up with a surplus of $1,900 before capital with a $9,000 deficit after capital. And I believe that we're supposed to submit something that's in positive numbers after capital. But we could talk about it. What's the committee's feeling? Does it have to be positive after capital?
This is Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
So this is keeping depreciation in the budget as though it were an expense, correct?
Yes, because it's taken out every year as mm-hmm. off your income statement.
Well, it doesn't go anywhere, but nonetheless. I would be happy with that. That would be fine with me.
Rest of the committee, what think you?
Our Paul?
Yeah.
I've had this argument before. Aren't we absolutely super duper required to have the have everything be positive at the end? I mean, I brought in a couple of budgets that were a bit deficit-y, and you know, we spent a lot of time making it not deficit. So
yes, we did.
So I think that if we do that, people are going to throw rocks at our heads.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're going to throw rocks at our heads regardless. This is how it goes. But, yeah, I hear you. Well, all right. So let me put out a couple of questions.
Tracy, can I get in the stack, please? This is Richard.
Yeah, you can. Okay, let's go to the stack. Maybe we'll solve it as we go along. So Richard Uzel followed by Richard Brodsky.
Uzel goes first. Okay. I see us trying to skin this cat past the end of the tail with no more skin. And that bothers me a lot. You know, we're trying to spend right up to and just a little over, or maybe 100,000 or half a million over, you know, whatever. And I don't know where you're going to get that. You know, y'all had $2 million worth of reserve that you burned up. And now you're trying to burn up stuff you don't have. And at that time, we all should be looking for ways to rebuild our reserves and not just burn right up to the edge of the cliff and hope we don't go over, because we're all going over them. Different amounts of different ones, but I don't see why we have to have every bit of staff that is desirable. You know, I think that you can get by with $100,000 less staff. Yes, it wouldn't be the easiest thing in the world to do, but it might be prudent, and nothing's wrong with being prudent. I know it doesn't go real well around Pacifica.
Bad radio.
Prudence. Why? Why should it be bad radio? If y'all are good managers, if y'all are good producers, you would have good radio. We don't pay all these people in Texas, and we have good radio here. Now, sure, it could be better, but I don't understand trying to get down to where you're trying to pinch that last penny, and you're going to go over. You've been going over. You've been in the red. You've been in the red over and over. You've burned up your reserve. There ought to be some red flags going here, folks. You can't have everything you want. Sure, you want to go out and get a new car. You want to go out and get, you know, buy a couple of houses or something like that. But you don't have the money. You do not have the money, so you can't do it.
Richard Prosky is next.
My understanding is that if we were to add another day of fundraising, that we would be pretty much in the clear. In the interest of full disclosure, I have to tell you, in talking with Goldbusters, there are any number of things that I feel as though that we can't put in the budget which would increase revenue. That being said, if they're totally wrong, if there's no increase whatsoever with all that they're proposing, with things like the comprehensive campaign, the efficiencies that we can get, the greater revenue we can get from the letter campaigns, even the increases that, at least from my experience, come from a change in the schedule. If none of that works, I'd be more than happy to add one more day of fundraising if that's going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here's where we are, and I'm just talking numbers because I'm doodling numbers into the spreadsheet and trying to figure out where it moves. And we're close, which is the good news. So, Richard, I've added 2 days to the fund drag in December. If the targets are met, don't need to extend the December fund drive, and I'm hoping that won't happen. But the targets are, you know, in the 750 range, and that's what we have been doing. So it will require more performance. It will require higher numbers. Let's hope that that's the case. And I think you're right. There's possibly an upside, and maybe Goldbusters can help us get there, and that would be good. If we can increase the fund drive take by 10%, this will be a moot issue, no extra fund drive days. I hope we can achieve that. Basically, assuming that we're going to go with this budget with a small surplus, and I hear what Richard is saying, but I don't feel we have the ability to mandate the kind of surplus that we should be doing. I mean, yes, all of the stations should have $500,000 in reserves, the big stations. I mean, they should have 2 months of operating expenses in the bank, there's no doubt, but there is no way to accomplish that with this budget. It's impossible. So So we will be doing what we normally do, which is sending something in with $5,000 or $10,000 surplus and hoping for the best. It bears repeating that our hoping for the best really isn't materializing, but that's the challenge that we have to rise to. We have to make it materialize. I've got basically a $20,000 issue here. So the questions are, do we want to hold on to the $11,000 in capital expenses? In other words, is that specific money that we know that we're going to need to spend? Do we want to offset with Reuters, or do we want to trim the personnel expense by a little more? And I think that's really the final decision that we have to make. And I don't have any strong feelings either way. Richard, is it your sense you have to have $11,000 for capital expenses? In other words, are there specific building improvements and broadcast equipment purchases that you have planned, or is it more like a contingency?
It is necessary.
Okay.
However, counting depreciation and capital expenditures, you're double dipping. Raul, are you in there?
That's correct. So you could potentially take those out. I agree.
Yes.
So if we did that, then we've got a whopping surplus of $1,901, which is not going to please anybody, but it is positive.
I've been following here with my own numbers, and I actually come up with a different surplus, and my surplus is actually $6,491, so about $6,500. And that is taking out the $11,000, adding the days of fund drive, and so on.
How many? Three?
I think it was four more days of fund drive. And
okay.
The $102,000 depreciation, but eliminating the $11,000 capital expenditure, brings us to a $6,491 surplus.
All right. I think we could live with that. So before I make motions, can I just get a temperature check on the rest of the committee? Does that sound like we're pretty much in the right place? Or as right a place as we can get, because I don't want to make a motion and have us vote it down and have to be on the phone for hours more. That would be bad.
Our Paul?
Yes, our Paul.
Yeah. Well, adding the fundraiser days is probably a very good thing, and you know we're sort of close enough here, and I do understand the getting too close to the cliff stuff. You do it often enough, you will fall, and it's dicey, but in my opinion, the money throughout all of Pacifica is dicey and has been for years. So, this is dicey, but this might be the best we can manage at this point in time, and then, of course, we will have to hope we get the financial statements for the rest of the year, so that if things start going sideways, we can see it right away and say, "Hey,
yep.
We got to do something." So,
yeah,
I think we're approaching something I can live with. Yeah,
good. That is good. All right. So, from a process point of view, there's a couple of things with adding FunDrive days, because it has an impact on central services and an impact on premiums, and it's late, and I know that these meetings are long and there's more of them to come, and Marie and I don't have the same numbers, which makes sense, although we're close enough. So I'm wondering whether it might make sense to put these changes into the budget, make sure that everything adds up, and do maybe a provisional approval. Would that be okay with the committee? And at our next meeting, we could simply present the modified budget for a vote. Would that be all right with everyone? Because it will probably take 15 minutes to make all these numbers right. And I know that our poll really hates it when we pass motions that don't have precise numbers. because it sounds like we've kind of agreed on what we're doing. It just takes a little bit of time to feed the numbers in. How do people feel about that?
Tracy, would that be the meeting on the 10th?
Well, we were going to cancel the meeting on the 10th. It would be good to get KPFA's budget through. Would people be okay with meeting on the 10th literally for like 20 minutes to approve minutes and approve the final form of this budget? And nothing else? Like a 30-minute meeting?
Sure, it really will. Because
we really will have to go to about 9 o'clock, I think, to get all the numbers in and adjusted.
I could send the numbers here within the next 10 minutes.
I could live with a short meeting on the 10th. I can go either way, I suppose. But a short meeting on the 10th I would not get too worried about, because then we'd have solid numbers. Even if people disagreed, we would have a motion and an amendment, and we could at least have something that we could fight about that would be definite.
Am I audible?
You crack me up. Yes, who's that?
Michael Novick.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I had mentioned that I can't make the meeting on the 10th. I'm committed to a workshop at the 7th Nonprofit Management that night, but, I can live with whatever, seems to be coming out of this meeting. It sounds like the station is,
Okay. So based on what we've kind of carved out, assuming that we get all the numbers in exactly, you feel like you can support it?
Sounds like they're comfortable with it. I have a comment that I actually wanted to make. I do think that we need to come up with a better budgeting process, and the part of that process needs to be longer term. I think if we're talking about rebuilding reserves, which we do need to do, that's something that's going to take 2 or 3 years of budgeting to accomplish. You can't do it overnight in 1 year's budget. So I would like to see that process move forward, after this current round of this year's fiscal year planning is done, that we have a longer-term budgeting process. I think part of that also has to be a much deeper discussion about what level of staffing is appropriate for a listening sponsor. I don't want to go the route of underwriting. I think that would be the death knell, more so than anything else that we could do. So those are the two priorities I would see going forward after this round of budgeting.
Okay. I hear you. So very fast. Tony, are you willing to meet briefly on the 10th just to okay the final numbers on this, or would you rather hack away for another 20 minutes tonight?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
I don't have any problem meeting briefly on the 10th.
Okay. Texas?
On the 10th, if everybody wants it, I'll do whatever you want.
Okay. Richard, you okay with that?
Okay, I'm okay with the 10th. I would like to see the numbers. Thank you.
Okay. John?
Yes, I'm okay with the 10th. I just want to echo what Michael said about underwriting. I think it would be a disaster.
Yeah, but we're not budgeting for, so you won on that one for now. Yeah. Well, my hope is that those fungi days don't materialize, but I think we've kind of split the difference, which is good. And, we will hope for some revenue growth and trim expenses where we can, or at least not expand them more than seems reasonable. Okay. So it sounds like it's unanimous. We will get to that 6491 reserve and get those numbers out, and we'll do a 30-minute meeting on the 10th. And I will see you all then. Anything else?
See you then.
Okay. Good night. Thank you, everyone.